Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hanshin Tigers, Ichiban, come on, know that Ichiban.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hanshin Tigers English News H10. We are on episode 41, and this is Sunday, July the 31st. We're at the end of month 7 of the year. Wow, time is flying fast. By the way, I'm T-Ray, as you already know, unless this is your first time. And if it is, welcome! Our co-host this week and nearly every week for the whole season has been and is...
Good old Joe.
Yes, Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good after this week. Pretty awesome.
I think so.
Yeah, indeed. So you had a little trip into the Big Apple this past little couple days.
Yeah, I went into New York yesterday and got to see a Broadway play. I won one of the lotteries and got a front row ticket to see An American in Paris. So that was pretty cool yesterday.
Wonderful. Had a good time? Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Nice. Well, I was at Koshien twice this week, so I'm just going to share
a little bit
with everybody. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? Well, we'll get into this later, but, you know, I had a really great day and then I had a really bad day. But actually, both days ended up really good. So the first one I went to was Thursday, and I went with a whole bunch of people. It was kind of an H10 night out, so it was 8 of us. And I actually got to meet somebody for the first time who is a huge baseball fan, and he just moved to Japan. He moved to Japan, I think, Tuesday, and then he came to Thursday's game, and he's a huge baseball fan. And so it was really fun to sit and talk with him, and he got to take in the Koshien experience for the first time. And he, as he said at the end of the night, he said, "I drank the Kool-Aid."
Exactly. That's good. What I said the first night. I was like, I'm in.
Yeah. So that was totally him. So it was cool to be there for somebody's first experience like that and for them to have such a great time. So that was that. And then on Friday, I had actually a better experience as far as meeting fans goes. So I was sitting in the left field stand, and I was just 8 rows under the Dragons' Owen Dunn. So that was terrible. Oof. But 1 row behind me and about 6 seats over, I saw another foreigner. And he was wearing a jersey of number 36, Matt Haig. So I talked to him. I said, "Hey, you're a Haig fan." He goes, "Yeah, I like Haig." I was like, "Yeah, me too. He's awesome." And he goes, "Yeah, there's somebody here that does a podcast, and he interviewed Haig for it the other day." And I was like, yeah, you're looking at him. And so it was really cool. We got to talk a little bit, and he shared just how big of a Haig fan he is. He told me about the first time he saw Haig at a game in Toronto, and he told me what inning it was, what pitches he faced, how he crushed one, and it was just 2 feet short of being a home run to tie the game. You know, so he was just all over, you know, the Haig experience. And so he was bummed that obviously Haig wasn't up on the big team, but we had a good time talking afterwards. So great times at Koshien. Everybody out there, if you have never been to Koshien, put that on your bucket list. Make it a high priority.
Absolutely.
It is worth it. Win or lose, watching Tigers games is a great time. Speaking of which, we are going to get into the action and more in a little bit. So, Joe, we were in our ultra summer, Urutora no Natsu, you know, regular annual tradition. Before we go on the road, we have that 6-game homestand, and everybody gets a free Tigers special jersey when they go into the stadium. And so this was no exception. We did that, and we headed in, and we faced the Yakult Swallows. Against the Swallows, up until this point, we were 6-6-1 on the season. And that was thanks to winning two straight in Yakult, or on the road against Yakult just before the All-Star break. So we go into this one 6-6-1. And let's talk about the action.
All right.
So Tuesday, going way back to Tuesday, we brought... Who's on the mound on Tuesday?
Iwasada.
It was Iwasada, that's right. Okay, so Iwasada is on the mound, and he got himself into a huge jam. Let's keep in mind, he had a 24 ERA hitting into the month, so I was feeling a little bit doubtful about how he would do. Well, he exceeded my doubts. It was a really tough first inning to watch. He put two guys on base right away, and then he gave up a Tetsuto Yamada 30th home run of the season.
Wow.
Just inside the right field foul pole. So 3-0, and I think at this point he's only recorded one out. So we're going, man, that 24 ERA is actually looking pretty good compared to the ERA in this game so far, which was 81. However, he was able to calm down the rest of the way. So actually that was it for the Swallows' first inning, but it's 3-0 deficit.
Yep. So we get some clean innings and go all the way into the fourth inning. And then Gomez comes up with runners on second and third and gets a hit to right field to get the first run. So it's 1-3. And then Arai comes up with runners on first and third and on a 1-1 count gets a hit, a double to left, and actually gets one more run. So it's 2-3. And then Yamato with runners on second and third gets a sac fly to right to tie up the game. So definitely a good inning there, and you know, definitely gave some, you know, relief to Iwasada that he was, you know, back to even.
Yeah, and he was doing great. I mean, he went almost perfect the rest of the way. I think he allowed one hit and one walk after that first inning, and he went all the way through seven innings. So really solid the rest of the way for him.
Right, so going into the eighth, you know, it's looking like one of those games where it's going to be a nail-biter, and, you know, this whole year it seems to come down to games like that, and we lose by a run, we give up a run somewhere in relief. Now, our relief has been, you know, much better this month, so, you know, QG comes in and pitches the top of the eighth, and then in the bottom of the eighth, with a runner on first, on an 0-1 count, Gomez is up and cranks a two-run home run, and so we get the lead, and that would be the end of it. And so Gomez gets the winning run there, and Dolis comes in the top of the ninth and pitches a clean inning, giving up one hit but two strikeouts to end the game. And so we won 5-3.
Yes, extending our winning streak to two games at this point. And looking really good, Gomez with two hits, and this is, you know, after he had been kind of slumping for a while. And, you know, the second of those hits, of course, was hugely clutch. It was a big blast, so it was great to see that. You know, we got a few extra base hits in this one, which was really nice to see. And like you said, that fourth inning where we went bam, 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 four straight hits, followed by a sac fly. I mean, it just really took the wind out of the Swallows' sails, and it really gave the Hanshin Tigers fans hope that this would be a good week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so we got the winning runs off of Josh Lukey. Lukey has actually made a ton of appearances this year. I feel like he plays in every game that they face the Tigers. And he's actually been pretty good against us. So it was nice to, you know, beat him up for a couple of runs there as well. Even after the Gomez home run, we got another hit. So, you know, he definitely did not look his best on this day.
That was Toritani's pinch hit there. Mandatory,
yeah, that's right,
appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, Toritani again. So this is the second straight game that he has not started. But of course, they're making sure that he extends his Iron Man streak. Yeah, I don't know. It's tougher to call it an Iron Man streak because we'll just kind of
semi Iron Man.
Yeah.
Well, Cuter Man. I don't know.
Yeah, with this week, I mean, he's played roughly one inning. Like, he's had one at bat and then one inning in the field. In, I think it was every game this week. That was his situation. Yeah. I could be wrong. He might have come in a bit earlier in one game, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, speaking of which, let's look back at episode 40 and the trivia contest real quick now.
Okay.
So the questions that I asked were, how many consecutive games did Toritani play every inning of? And the answer for that was 667. which is about 4.5 seasons worth of baseball. Pretty solid stuff. The winner of that contest was a guy named Steve Zerker. So I took him to the game on Friday night. He got the extra ticket that I had. So that was pretty fun. And then the other question was, who was the last guy to stand at shortstop in a regular season or playoff game for the Hanshin Tigers? And the answer for that was, Joe, do you know it?
Yamato, I believe, right?
You are right. The last game of the 2011 season, it was Yamato who played at shortstop. So a guy named Doug Frigland, I believe his name is, in the UK, he was the first one to answer that correctly. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who played the game and tried to guess. I got some interesting guesses. Atsushi Fujimoto was the most popular guess, and I think he was the last kind of like regular starting shortstop before Toritani, but... the answer was Yamato. Anyways, I sent the Urutora no Natsu 2014 jersey off to Doug the other day. So hopefully, Doug, you'll be getting that in about a week or week and a half's time. Congratulations. Everybody, look forward to the next trivia contest that we have, which, by the way, is not on today's show. So if that's what you were sitting and waiting for, you can press stop right now. In the meantime, we're going to keep going forward. We're going to look at Wednesday's game. How does that sound for you, Joe? We had Atsushi Nomi on the mound for this one, and he had been kind of struggling of late. He was 5-8 coming into this one, but they brought a guy named Sugiura to the mound, and he's a young guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, and I think we can be thankful for that.
Yeah. So after the bottom of the fourth, there's the first scoring action of the game, and everybody sit down. Get a coffee. We have a few hits to go through here.
Yes.
I'm going to start off with just the scoring plays. And so Haraguchi is up with runners on first and second on a full count and cranks a home run to left field. So we start off with a blast and have three runs. So then a little later, Araki comes up with runners on first and third. And this is no outs at this point. And gets a hit to right to get one more run in, so it's 4-0. Then Nomi comes up with a sack bunt.
First out.
Gets our first out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Takayama's up with runners on second and third and gets a hit to right for two more runs, so 6-0. And then Fukudome comes up with the bases juiced and on a 3-1 count gets the walk. So we have 7-0.
Ooh.
And then Haraguchi comes up with... bases loaded again on a 1-2 count and gets the hit to left field to get two more runs, so it's 9-0.
Still only one out, and we've stopped having problems with the bases juiced, it seems.
Yeah, I think we did fine today in that inning. So we get 9 runs, and then Arai comes up with a runner on first, I believe.
Bases juiced, actually.
Bases still loaded, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. He's up next and then gets a double play to end the inning. So we had all that action there. It was 9 consecutive hits with a sack bunt and a walk tossed in there.
Yeah, maybe 2 walks.
Two walks
as well. So pretty crazy inning. And poor Sugiura, he was in there for most of it, I think. I mean, he was charged 7 runs and then Nakajima was charged for 2. So just a brutal inning for them. And yeah, it could have been worse. Like, I mean, if Arai had gotten the ball in the air at least a little bit or, you know, produced like a sack fly or something, it could have been 10-0 and it could have kept going. But we're happy with the 9. I mean, it was just crazy fun to watch that on TV. But since I had tickets to the next 2 games, I was shaking my head going, man, I got tickets for the wrong game. Like, why couldn't I have been there for this crazy party that must have been going on, especially in right field stands? But
no kidding.
Yeah. So actually, everybody, we have just gone through all the scoring for the whole game. It all happened in the bottom of the fourth. The rest of the way was clean on both ends. Atsushi Nomi with the complete game shutout, which is his first one since April 25th of 2015.
Correct.
But he's actually recorded a complete game shutout in each of the last 4 or 5 seasons. I forget which. But good on him. He looked great up there. He went 5 hits and 1 walk and 8 strikeouts.
Yeah, and only 104 pitches to get it done, too. So he was very efficient during the whole game.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind, this is the Yakult Swallows, who are a very hard-hitting team. They have a lot of great batters. The good news for us was that Well, it's bad news for the Swallows, but Hatakeyama, who led the league in RBIs last season, he is now out for the year. He had an injury a few weeks back, but I think they finally determined that he was unable to come back. And then also in Tuesday's game, their right fielder, Yuhei, also got hurt. I think he pulled, I think it might have been his oblique when he was throwing a ball in from right field. So they were missing two of their key batters, but at the same time, they still have Yamada, they still have Ballantyne, and we kept them silent on this day. Ballantyne got a walk, Yamada reached on an error, that's it. So extremely well done by Nomi.
Yeah, good bounce back for him, you know, after his shaky, you know, time. So
right, so he's 6-8 now on the year. Good for him. You know, he does have an outside shot at 10 wins if he can have a string of good outings here, especially in August. But yeah, nice. Two straight wins at home now. And Joe, you had said 1 out of 3 against the Swallows, so your prediction is already out. Next is to see if my prediction is out. I said 2-1 versus the Swallows, so if they win on Thursday, then we're both wrong. Here's to hoping. So let's go into Thursday's action. We brought Koyo Aoyagi to the mound, and they brought Yasuhiro Ryan Ogawa to the mound, who is their quote-unquote ace, who's also having a pretty rough year, so we wouldn't necessarily say that he is ace material by any means. Well, anyway, so as far as scoring goes, the first three innings were clean, and then Yakult got on the board first. Vladimir Ballantyne hit an RBI single to center field. It was right up the middle. And so the score was 1-0 after the top of the fourth, but that was it for the Swallows for that inning.
Right. So then at the bottom of the inning, you know, we like our fourth innings again. So here it starts with a Fukudome triple. And then Hadaguchi comes up and gets a hit to center to tie the game 1-1. And then, so Hadaguchi's on first, and then Gomez comes up and with a 1-2 count cranks a home run to center. And so, to left.
To left, yeah.
Sorry, the first one was to left. So then it's 3-1, and then Hojo comes up with a runner on third and actually gets a squeeze to get the run in. So it's 4-1 after that inning. And then Aoyagi comes in and actually gets a strikeout to end the inning. So definitely a good response to the one run is 4 on the board. So looking good. And then going into the next inning, it continues. Hadaguchi comes up with bases loaded, full count, and gets a double to center, clearing the bases. So now it's 7-1.
Yeah.
And then Hadaguchi is on second, and then Gomez comes up. What happened last time?
Home run to left.
Home run to center. So it is 9-1, back screen home run on a 2-0 count. Amazing.
So maybe I didn't pick the wrong game to go to, right? The top of the sixth, actually, Aoyagi, he really fell apart. Actually, he had been pitching quite well up until this point, aside from that little hiccup in the fourth. But then he led off the sixth with 3 straight walks. And that was the end of his outing, actually. So he went 89 pitches, 4 walks, only 2 hits allowed. But after his 3 straight walks, it was Ando that came in, who's actually known for his control. And after a strikeout, he walked 2 more guys. So both of those produced runs. And then he actually induced a ground out for the second out of the inning. But since there was a runner on third, or bases were juiced, another run came in. So that was 3 runs that the Swallows scored on no walks. In the top of this, or no walks, on 5 walks, on no hits, I should say, in the top of the sixth. The score now, it was really rough. It was really surprising. And that was such a long inning because, I mean, if you score runs on hits, at least stuff is moving along, but they scored everything on walks. And so, just sitting and watching, that was so painful. Anyways, so the next inning, Takahashi is in pitching and he allows a leadoff double and then one out later, he allows an RBI single. So now the score is 9-5 after the top of the seventh inning.
Right. And then in the eighth inning, we have Yamato come up with 1 out, runners on second and third, and gets a double to right field to score another run. So then it's 10-5 at this point, and I think that's all this time. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the end of the game, 10-5. It's kind of interesting, though, that there were runners on second and third, and only one of them scored on a double. And if I'm not mistaken, I was at the game, but I kind of forget what happened. But if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of one of those where the runners kind of had to hold up. It wasn't two outs. And,
yeah, you weren't sure it was. Yeah,
right. So the guy at second, who would have been... the guy at second was Toritani.
Right.
Maybe he didn't get a great jump on it. So he ended up being stranded at third.
Yeah, we've had quite a few of those this year.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like our base running is not one of our strengths. But anyways, it doesn't matter when you win 10-5 and you sweep a series 3-0. Thanks for making both Joe and myself wrong, Hanshin Tigers. We love you. It was great. So Aoyagi, anyways, gets the win here. He went the 5 innings that are requisite to get a win. So, yeah, good on him. And that's it. We're done with the Swallows, and we pasted them, man. We definitely... Yeah. We're pushing them down into last place where we're hoping that they can stay for a good amount of time.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention that we had Mateo, Kyuji Fujikawa, and Dolis come in for the final 3 innings there in that game to shut them all down. So, you know, our standard relief corps did well again. So,
yeah, they've just been something else this year. Or, pardon me, not this year. this past, I would say, since maybe Interleague ended.
Right.
They've just been outstanding, and obviously we cannot expect them. I think combined their ERA is probably like 0.3.
I think they've only given one run. Dolis is the only one that gave up a run this month.
It was a real unfortunate one. But you know, we can't expect that much perfection from them the rest of the way, but certainly it is great to have that help from the bullpen and that assurance that, you know, if we can get a lead heading into the 7th inning, we've got a good chance of hanging on to the lead, which was definitely not the case earlier in the year.
Right.
So let us move forward. The last home series before we head off on the road so that the high schoolers can come in and play some ball in our park. Recap! We hosted the Chunichi Dragons. And against the Chunichi Dragons, up until this point, we were, I believe, 7 wins and 8 losses. So it's kind of unfortunate to have a losing record against them because they are kind of patsies, and we definitely took advantage of them and DNA last year, and we need to do that again this year, certainly with the Dragons. So Friday, once again, I was at this one, and we brought Fujinami to the mound, and they had a guy named Ito, Junki, which almost looks like junkie when it's spelled in English, Ito. Unfortunately, he was anything but junky against us, or maybe we were the ones that were junky against him.
No kidding.
Yeah, so anyways, let's start with the scoring. Top of the first, this one starts just like the Swallows series. Fujinami allows a couple of hits and a 3-run home run. This one was to left field. It was a no-doubter by Hirata. So it's 3-0 before we get up to the plate. Really tough way to start this game.
Yeah, and then a lot of silence from the bats for both teams. Second, third, fourth, fifth, all clean. And then in the sixth, we get runners on second and third. And Fukudomi comes up and gets a grounder to shortstop. And we score a run on a grounder. So no RBI, but still we get one run in. And... that was it for the sixth, and for the rest. Go ahead.
He actually gets the RBI.
He gets the RBI. Okay.
He gets the RBI. Yeah, but it doesn't count as a taimuri, as they would say in Japanese, because it wasn't a hit. But yeah, so sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, that would be the end of the game, right? 3-1. So we lose. It was our first loss of the week. It breaks our 4-game winning streak, which, by the way, was our first of the season. Good for us. It definitely was good, and it felt like it could have kept going longer, and maybe it should have. Let's just talk about a few points in this game. The first of which I would like to say is that in the first inning, actually on Viciedo's infield hit to third, if we had a better fielding third baseman, that actually might have been out number 3, which would have prevented the 3-run home run. Not that I'm letting Fujinami off the hook, but if our fielding were a bit more solid... actually, it's possible that this could have been a 1-0 win. Not that I'm throwing the blame all on Ryota Arai, although it is easy to blame him for a lot of things because he doesn't do a lot of things right.
Yeah, well, if you look at Fujinami's stat line for the day, 7 innings, he gave up 5 hits, 1 home run, 13 strikeouts.
And only one walk.
And 3 earned runs. So,
yeah.
You know, one pitch ruined his day. Otherwise, it would have been a gem of a game.
Absolutely, yeah. And he went 113 pitches, which, you know, when you compare that to other games, 161, it's actually pretty low for him. And considering the 13 strikeouts, that is a very low pitch count.
Well, for him, I think his just his pitch to walk ratio or strike to walk ratio, usually it's almost 1-to-1. It's just barely advantage to the strikeouts. Yeah. But today this game he had it on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, one more note. Kazunari Tsuruoka was the starting catcher in this one because last year, with Tsuruoka behind the mask, Fujinami had 13 wins and 3 losses. And so to try and get him out of this funk, they decided that they would bring up Tsuruoka and hope that he could work some magic. Obviously, it didn't quite work that way. However, both Fujinami and Tsuruoka admit or say that the pitch that was hit for a home run was not a bad call by the catcher, but rather a misfired pitch by Fujinami. So, I don't know. I mean, the Tsuruoka effect, I'm not really convinced because actually Tsuruoka got pulled early and Haraguchi did just fine with Fujinami the rest of the way. Right. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we need to do that to get Fujinami his win. But, Joe, there's one more thing we got to speak about, and this is very crucial. I would call this my Wacky Tomoaki of the week. Bottom of the 5th inning, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so actually we skipped over that to get to the 6th inning run in our scoring recap. But the bases were loaded with 2 outs. Kosuke Fukudome hit, followed by a couple of outs and then a couple of walks. Bases are juiced, and Fujinami is due up at the dish. So he's already pitched 5 innings, and his pitch count isn't very high, and he's done very well since the home run. However, this is a situation where, you know, when it's 3-0, you need to do something. And I really think that Tomoaki, the wacky one, should have brought in a pinch hitter at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What would you have done? I mean, would you have stuck with Fujinami at that point?
But as a pinch hitter, who do you bring in that
Cano?
Situation? Yeah, Cano. But mean, he's batting .230. You know, so you're really taking a, you know, I don't know. The relief's been good. It's tough. In this situation, you know, we have a good relief. They haven't been stressed in any start this week, you know.
Well, they got, they got the day before off, right?
Right. So like it's Canoe. Like... Yeah, I can see that.
Or 2 days before, yeah.
Right. So, you know, they really haven't had too many games where they're out there, you know, for a large number of innings. But,
right.
You know, so I could see that you could bring the relief in here. You know, Cano's, he's, you know, okay. You know, .230 is not the best, but.
No.
And, he, you know, he's not a power hitter that's going to get you that 3-run home, you know, home run in that situation. But, I could see pulling him.
But, yeah. See, the thing is that Cano is kind of their guy that they would say is, you know, he's the guy that we bring in when the game's on the line.
Right.
And we'll talk about that, you know, when we get to Sunday's game. But, you know, in that case, you bring him in as a pinch hitter, and if he blows it, it's kind of on him. It's not so much on Fujinami anymore. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, Fujinami gets hung for the loss. I mean, this was a chance that if Cano had done something to keep the rally going, at least get a couple runs, or, you know, maybe miraculously hit the grand slam, you know, it does put Fujinami in line for the win. Apparently, Kanemoto was trying to give Fujinami a chance at the win, which is why he kept him in the game, which I don't really like. I mean, it is putting the individual first, and they're saying, oh, poor Fujinami, you know, he hasn't won in so long, but who cares?
It's not about pitcher wins. If it was the 6th inning, I think it's a lot easier. But yeah, in the 5th inning... 4th inning, I don't know. 5th inning,
really,
though.
Yeah, it really is a tough call. I mean, honestly, like, I can sit here all I want and say this is what I would have done, or that was a stupid call. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm sitting in the dugout, man, that's a tough call. Because if it does backfire, then all of a sudden everybody's on your case saying, why did you pull Fujinami so early? So, I mean, yeah, in retrospect, it's easy to say. But that was definitely a turning point of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, that's it. The winning streak is over. But that's okay. We can move forward to Saturday. And, you know, we've been pushing Randy Messenger a little bit more lately. So instead of having him go on 6 days rest, they brought him in one day early. And he's on the mound against Yoshimi. So it's Messenger versus Yoshimi. Messenger is pitching very well as usual. And he hung in really tough in his last game. against Hiroshima, unfortunately. Or no, actually, that one did end up being a win for the Tigers, but not a win for Messenger. This one was a little bit different. And so let's go through the scoring.
All right, so it starts out in the bottom of the second with Fukudome out on a up on a 1-0 count and takes a right stand home run to start the game. So
it was a beauty.
Definitely the right way to get a game going.
Yes.
So then we move on a little further into the fourth inning, and Hojo is up with runners on first and second on a 1-0 count. Gets a hit right over the second baseman to go into right field and score the run from second, so it's 2-0 after four. And then in the fifth, Takayama comes up. And on an 0-1 count with no one on, gets a home run to
right field
again, and it is his first home run at Koshien
as a pro. Yeah,
as a pro. Okay, yeah,
as a high schooler. Yeah,
okay. Always forget that. So it's 3-0.
Yeah,
Fukudome comes up with runner on second, 2-2 count, and gets a triple.
Yeah.
So he's had a home run and a triple. Keep your eye on that one. And so we get another run, and it is 4-0.
Actually, he's already got a single as well, too, in the fourth inning. Earlier he got in a single, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and so, it's 4-0, yeah.
Hataguchi has a runner on third and an 0-2 count, gets a hit up to center, and it is 5-0 after the fifth. So definitely another day where the bats are on and many extra base hits here, a triple, you know, home runs. I mean, we're definitely doing well.
Indeed. And Randy is cruising along as well. It's not, you know, lately he's had a lot of games where he's perfect through five and then the sixth is where he falls apart. Well, this one, he wasn't perfect through five. I mean, he shut them out through five. And then in the sixth, he didn't fall apart, but he did allow a solo home run to none other than, yeah, Vicieto. This one actually barely stayed fair. It was actually an opposite field one for Vicieto to the right field stands. So, you know, not a typical home run for him. It wasn't one of those, like, no doubters. But they all count the same, so it's 5-1 now.
So, why don't we come back to our boy of the day, Fukudome, with bases loaded. And he is, what, a double away from the cycle here? And gets
two outs,
a...
Right? Yeah, two outs.
Yep. So you get the two out. The count is 1-0, and actually gets his double to left to clear the bases. Yeah. 8-1 Tigers, and Fukudome hits the cycle.
Yes, that was incredible.
A cycle, but not only just a cycle. He gets 5 RBIs on that cycle.
Yeah, impressive. And not only that, he did it in 4 at bats.
Right, 4 at bats.
Yeah. So sweet, it's 8-1, and the scoring actually ends in this one in the seventh. Oshima hit one to right field. Actually, it was a double to right field, and it scored a run. So it's 8-2 for the Tigers. So that's the end of the game. 8-2, Tigers win. Messenger gets the win. He's 9-6 on the year. We don't end up going on a losing streak. It stops at 1. Good for us. The seventh inning was cool. Before we talk about Fukudome a bit more, Randy Messenger ran into all sorts of trouble, and his pitch count was just climbing and climbing. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it was after the Oshima hit that the pitching coach was about to come out. Kanemoto actually already called for Shimamoto to come in as a reliever to relieve Randy. And Randy actually waved him off and said, "No, dog. I got to finish what I started here." and it was just amazing to see, you know, Randy he just coolly waved him off and just said, like, no, like, don't do it. But then he actually allowed a hit. So runners on first and third. And then he walked a guy. So now it's bases loaded. And Vicieto's coming up to the plate. And Randy's pitch count is 140.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going, oh, no. I mean, if this guy hits a grand slam home run, it goes from 8-2 to 8-6. And there's still two innings of ball to go. But Randy fanned him, man, on a high fastball, I believe it was.
It was great.
It was amazing. It was the most exciting, second most exciting moment of the game. Maybe third most exciting. There was so much excitement in this game. It's hard to nail it down to just one. But that was definitely a very dramatic and very fun part of the game to watch.
Absolutely. It was really cool to see him, you know, come off and just get it there, even though he had himself in a real pinch. So
that's his toughness right there, though. And also, it was just cool to see that he actually has the clout to be able to say to the managers, like, no, you're not pulling me right now. So.
Well, that's, you know, he's probably what? Who else, if you think of the starting pitchers, could have that kind of clout? You know, Fujinami obviously doesn't get pulled when he wants to.
Right.
You know, so it's quite the opposite for him. But, you know, I think Nomi could probably get away with that.
Yeah.
Just because of his tenure. And, I mean, the same with Randy. He's been there, what, this is his seventh or eighth year?
Eighth, I think. Seventh. He came in the same time as Merton, and Merton just left. So, yeah. Seventh year. But yeah, with Nomi, though, I think he's a little bit too mild-mannered to actually
tell management. Yeah, I don't think Nomi would do it at all, but so, yeah, I agree.
I think Randy's the only one, yeah.
Right.
So let's go back to the cycle. Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. I just said it's just not very Japanese, you know, style. The Japanese are very much, you know, will conform to what the manager says, but it's a little more American style to say, you know what, I got this.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, the nice thing is, I really think, you know, because Randy actually played as a teammate with Kanemoto. So they've, you know, they've established rapport for a long time. And I think Kanemoto probably knows, like, look, if I want Randy to be happy on this team, if I want him to perform at a high level, I've got to give him some autonomy. And that's what he did. And it was great. It was great to see him respect that. So, yeah, nice. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Fukudome's cycle. It was his second of his career, actually. He hit one in 2003 as a member of the Trinity Dragons. But in hitting this cycle, the second of his career, he became the fourth guy in NPB history to have two or more cycles in his career. So pretty cool stuff. Also, he is the oldest in history to do it. 39 years and 3 months, roughly. Pretty good. I mean, I'm not much older than Fukudome, and man, I would be gassed after all that running, let me tell you.
At least you got to walk one time around, so.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So,
with his double, it was a kind of no-brainer, too. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I just thought it was kind of funny. They you know, brought the flowers out to him and all that, and it's like, they must have flowers at every game for some reason, you know, like,
ready to go.
You know, it was kind of weird. I'm like, wait, where'd those come from? You know, if he's coming up on his 2000th hit or, you know, that kind of stuff, I get that. But, you know, this one was like, where did they come from? They came out of nowhere. They had them all ready to go, so it was kind of funny.
Hilarious, yeah, because, I mean, So do they do that, you know, like you said, do they have the flowers at every game? Or here's another possibility, and I could be wrong, but Randy Messenger actually tied for second, I think it's second.
Yes.
Most second strikeouts by a foreign pitcher in NPB history. So 1,049, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, 1,067, something. So anyways, congratulations, Randy. And I don't know, maybe they took his bouquet and split it in two or something.
Yeah, because at that point he was still pitching, so you might have needed it. It's true, because he finished the seventh on a strikeout to get the tie.
That's but right, yeah.
You know, he was done after that. So.
Fukudome got his double in the sixth. So.
Right.
Anyways, so the other thing about the cycle is, I mean, as much as it's really cool, I don't really think that it's necessarily like a great display of a player's skill, or it's not like something that if you're a better player you hit them more often, because they just kind of happen. I mean, Fukudome said it in the post in the Hero interview as well, the post game interview. He said, you know, I just happened to hit for the cycle, and I'm glad I was able to do it in front of so many great fans. But
you watch the hits there, you know, you look at the double and the triple, and it's basically the outfielders going for the ball and missing it and having it bounce behind them. So it really, you know, it's just kind of the luck of where the fielders are, the positioning, where the hit goes. It's not necessarily that any one of those three hits could have been a, you know.
Right.
You know, and then he legged it out for that triple, though. He really did go after it. And the fielder kind of just really kind of lazily tossed it in the air, you know, to throw it back. So it wasn't like he was... You know, he probably didn't expect him to go for third, but...
Well, that one was to right, and so he had a little bit more time to get to third. His double was to left. It kind of did the same thing. It got past the fielder, but, you know, when you hit to left field, it's harder to reach third on that. The other thing is his single, it was really close to actually being a double. I mean, if it had gotten a little bit deeper, because it was hit kind of to the gap, he could have probably gotten two. and then he wouldn't have even been thinking cycle towards the end of the game.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, you know, nobody goes into a game thinking I'm going to try for the cycle today. Wow, I did it. You know, it just,
I mean,
it just
what do you do though if you're in the in that situation with you got everything but the double, all right, and then you get the chance at the triple, and you're like, yeah. no way, or you know, or you only need the single, but you get, you know, an obvious double, and you're like, no, I'm staying on first.
I've seen it happen, I think, in the majors, and I think really? You know, if the game is out of, you know, if the outcome is already kind of determined.
Yeah.
You do what you want, but otherwise, right. I mean, you look kind of foolish if you do that.
Right.
So, it was like, sorry to switch sports on you, but I remember somebody that I think they purposely missed a shot in basketball so that they could get an offensive rebound to complete a triple-double, but I think they committed some violation on it or something like that. I think they shot on their own net or something stupid like that. So just to get an extra rebound, and so it was actually disqualified, but he just looked like a real turd doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this case, Fukudome obviously didn't. I mean, it was definitely deserved. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move into today's action. This is the 31st Sunday, as I said, and it's the final game of the week. It's the final home game until the big, long road trip. And we are bringing Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, and they are bringing Jordan Norberto, who only goes by Jordan in the on his jersey and in the Japanese media and everything. Anyways, Norberto, Jordan, has 5 wins on the year, 3 of them against the Hanshin Tigers. We seem to have issues hitting this guy, and today seemed to be no exception. It was definitely looking that way. So, the scoring started in the top of the second when Viciedo hit a double, and then ultimately he came home on a single by Donaway. So, 1-0, but fortunately Iwazaki was able to stop the bleeding right there.
And then we have a lot of quiet innings here. So third, fourth, fifth, sixth innings, all zeros. Then we get into the seventh. And we start off with a Gomez hit. And I'm like, all right, here we go. This is our chance. Gomez lead off. And then Egoshi comes up and hits into a double play. So darn it.
Yeah.
I was like, man, here, you know, so I got really bummed. I was about ready to turn it off for a second. And then Nakatani gets a hit to second, and then Hojo gets a hit to left, and then we have
pinch Iwazaki's hit. Due up, but yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, so Okazaki's up, but then they bring in Kano as a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. And so, like you were saying, this is the guy we bring up in those clutch situations.
When the game's on the line, yep.
Right. So runner on first and second, 2 out, and he gets a double to left, Gyakuten. And they, you know, the throw came to the plate for the second run, and mm-hmm. it was close-ish, but it was definitely safe by a good amount. Yep. So yeah, we got, you know, we actually come through in the clutch and actually turn the game around in the seventh. So, you know, big motivation there, you know, awesome to see us actually turn it around and kind of come in and actually get the RBIs there when we needed them.
I was excited because Iwazaki was on the line to be the loser and Jordan Norberto was on the line to be the winner until then. And we pinch hit for Iwazaki, and it was just one of those cases where it happened to work out. You know, the guy that pinch hit for him got the go-ahead RBIs. Now Iwazaki's in line for the win. Norberto is in line for the loss. And we go into the eighth inning.
And it does not stop. Nope. So we get some guys on base, and Gomez is up with the bases loaded in a 2-2 count and gets a hit to center, a double to center, sorry, and gets 2 runs in, so it's 4-1. Fukudome comes up, runners on second and third, and gets the sack fly to center to make it 5-1. And then why not one more? Hojo comes up with runners on first and third and gets a liner hit to right and makes it 6-1. Mm-hmm. So we definitely turned it on in the eighth to get a 4 more runs to shut this game down. And then actually we see somebody we have not seen this season yet.
Yes, that's right. Rafael Dolis, after Saturday's game, I guess he claimed to have some discomfort in his elbow, and so he was put on the DL, and we called up Cody Satterwhite. Cody Satterwhite, who we signed at around the middle of June, which is coincidentally, as we've said before, the time that Mateo and Dolis both started to pitch flawless baseball. Anyways, he was called up and he pitched the ninth and he allowed two singles and struck out one guy, but nobody came home. So 6-1 final. And we're back on a winning streak of two games. We went 5-1 on the week, Joe. Did either of us call that?
No.
No, we didn't. So, good on us. Good on them, I should say, the Tigers. Thank you very much, Hanshin. Actually, I called a 2-1 in this series, so I got that part right. But I also said that the Tigers would win both games I went to. Nope. I was at the one loss this week. Good on me. Damn. So, anyways. Still, great week. Congratulations, absolutely. Tigers. That makes up for the 1-5 of the week before. And also, now we are in fourth place. Not that what place we're in matters, but we're down to 10 games under 500, which sounds terrible, but considering we were 15 below 500 just a little while ago, this ain't so bad.
Right. We got a ways to go to get up to the Bay Stars, so we're 5 games behind them.
Yeah.
And we're 15 games out of first. So.
Yes. Well, you know, we just all we got to do is look at the games and the series ahead of us and hope that we can do something in each game and chip away and keep pace and so on and so forth.
Yeah. But definitely amazing week. So.
Yes, for sure.
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the Player of the Week.
All right, Joe, let us choose our Players of the Week. So this is the week that was 5 wins, 1 loss, a whole ton of runs, quite a bit of good pitching too. So have you got somebody that you would like to recognize and give the honors to?
Yeah. So Player of the Week, I'm going to start out with my 2 honorable mentions and then I will give you my Player of the Week. Okay. So first I did want to note that the one player that had the highest batting average of the week, bet you won't guess who it was.
You know, it might have been Haraguchi, but I'm going to say Takayama.
Nope. The highest batting average of the week goes to Randy Messenger. He was 2-for-3. Oh. So.
Hey, that's not fair. Yeah, you're right. So, he got 2 singles. That was amazing. Yep.
So, all right. So, joking aside, my first runner up is Gomez with a 391. He was 9-for-23. And had 3 home runs and 9 RBIs. So,
Hang on a second. Hang on.
Yep.
A 391 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs gets you honorable mention. That's a good week.
First runner-up. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. So, the second runner-up is Haraguchi. 421 batting average, 8-for-19, 10 RBIs.
Mm.
And then, yeah, 1 home run. And so then my Player of the Week, obviously, is Fukudome.
Yep.
He had a 500 batting average, 9-for-18, 8 RBIs, and 1 home run. So because he got the cycle and he's been, you know, coming through at that age, I gave it to Fukudome.
Geez, hard to blame you, honestly. I mean, you know, the kid is on fire. And by kid, you know, we say that very loosely, but Oh, by the way, he rested today on Sunday. He didn't play in the game. He came in as a pinch hitter and got that sac fly RBI. So he went 0-for-0 with 1 RBI there. Good on him for that. Yeah, Fukudome, it seems like there should be nobody else. I'm actually going to give it to Mauro Gomez, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tough because Haraguchi had such a great week, and actually Takayama had a lot of hits this week as well.
He did. He had 8.
Yeah.
He bet 300.
Yeah, so it's all good, but I'm going to go with Gomez because of the 3 home runs, because they were so important to those wins early in the week against the Swallows. And then, you know, he kind of slowed down. He had a really rough Friday and Saturday, but then he came back really strong again today with another insurance, 2 RBI double. So I just like that he's back in the groove, and I'm going to recognize that with his big hits.
Yeah.
Right. Nomi is another good honorable mention, yep. I think. You know, the complete game shutout is also very solid, and good bounce back for him. Good bounce back for Iwazaki as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. So There we go with Player of the Week. But today is July 31st. That means July baseball is done. That means we choose a hitter and a pitcher of the month. So,
all right. So starting with the hitting, there has been some decent hitting this month. And this is a tough one. This is a real tough one. Again, it comes down to three people, and I bet you can guess who those three people are for hitter of the month.
Fukudome, Haraguchi, and Toritani.
No. So Gomez would be the third. So, you know, it was tough, you know, but I went and I went with RBI as my key indicator here of who I picked. So okay. I went with Haraguchi. He bat 373 for the month and had 17 RBIs three home runs. So definitely, you know, did his best. He only had 11 strikeouts. Compared to Fukudome's 14 and Gomez's 20. But the thing is to note that Haraguchi only had 51 at-bats compared to the almost 80 of Fukudome and 85 of Gomez.
So that's like an RBI every three at-bats. That's
crazy. It's insane. So that's why, you know, with that few at-bats, but having still leading the team in RBIs, you know, I had to give it to him.
You know, his stat line for July is not that different from the one that he had in May, which got him Player of the Month in the Central League.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see why you would choose him. I'm actually going to go with number 25, though. Mm-hmm. Yoshitomo Tsutsugo! Man, sorry to go to another team here, everybody, but when somebody hits 16 home runs in a month, you got to recognize.
Yeah.
You know, Pokemon Go is not the biggest go of the month in Japan, let me say. It was Tsutsugo. Holy smokes. Our number 25, Egoshi, not quite there. So, actually, though, in all seriousness, I'm going to mention another batter that I think really deserves it, and that would be Shun Takayama.
Absolutely.
Heading into today, sorry, I don't have his numbers from today added in, but he was batting 379.
He bat 366 after today.
366. So, when you look back at his other months, he was 272 in the first month, 260, then 217. And then he bounced back to a 366. So he is back in the groove. He hit a home run for the first time in ages. For the first time since his cheer song came out at the end of April, by the way.
That's true.
He stole a base. But I'm also not going to go with him. And I'm also not going to go... Oh, no. I am going to go with Fukudome. Sorry. I'm going with Fukudome. Yeah. Fukudome, amazing average for the month.
397.
Right? 397 for a 39-year-old. I mean,
leading the team.
Yeah, and he is now, I think it's fourth in the CL in batting average.
That's awesome.
He was sixth, just 0.0002 behind Takahiro Arai, but maybe that's changed after today. Anyways, incredible month.
Yeah, and 14 RBIs.
Yes.
Two home runs,
which is actually, you know, he had three home runs heading into this month, so he almost doubled his output. But, you know, a big RBI month as well. And I really think that with him firing on all cylinders and with Gomez showing some signs of coming back and with Takayama showing signs of coming back and Haraguchi doing really well,
this is crazy.
I say Toritani who?
Right? Exactly.
I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves. It's nice to have him, you know, healthy and hitting well, but the rest of the team around him has done really good. So let's hope as we face some tougher pitching, we can keep that going. But speaking of pitching, let us go into pitcher of the month now.
Yeah. So my pitcher of the month had five starts in the month and had a 2.48 ERA, two wins and one loss. Any thoughts on who that person is?
I've got the stat page in front of me, so I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so Randy Messenger is my pitcher of the month. But I do have some honorable mentions for the relief corps, like I mentioned earlier, starting with Mateo, 11 appearances, 4 holds, and no runs.
Mm-hmm.
Fujikawa, 8 appearances, 1 win, 3 holds, no runs.
Let's make that 9 appearances because he added one today. So, yeah.
True, yeah. Yep. And then Dolis had 9 appearances. He gave up one run, I believe.
And bad defense.
Yeah, and one win, one loss, and four saves. So, mm-hmm. you know, with that relief corps, you know, if it's hard to pick, you know, one of those guys that did better than the others. So, right. you know, just outstanding relief for the month from the guys.
Randy Messenger, without a doubt, is just on a tear. I mean, he had an extremely good June. He had an extremely good July. But you know what? Just to be a jerk like I was in June when Jimbo was the guest host and chose Messenger as pitcher of the month, I'm actually going with a reliever here. My apologies and all respect to Randy. I'm going with Kyuji Fujikawa.
Yeah.
And big again, turnaround. Big turnaround is the big key. And the other one is that everybody had written him off as dead and farm him and retire him. And understandably, I'm not saying he didn't deserve the criticism that he got, but to turn things around the way that he has, he's had 10 pitching outings in July. I think all or most of them were eighth inning. So they're kind of leverage situations. And in those 9 appearances, he went 10 innings. He allowed 6 hits. He had 2 walks and 1 hit batsman. But he also struck out 18 in 10 innings. And that counts today when he struck out none. Before today, he had struck out at least one guy in all those innings, and often 2 or 3. But, you know, just really gutsy performances from him. And he's just really stabilized the bullpen. Obviously, Dolis and Mateo deserve a lot of credit as well. But I think with Mateo, he was coming in a lot of times in the 6th and 7th inning this mm-hmm. month. And I think they're going to start to use him as the closer now that Dolis is out. But Fujikawa is definitely a guy that we counted on at the start of the year. I called him out as the key pitcher for the team back in March when I was on the Tigers cast, the Japanese podcast of the Hanshin Tigers. And, you know, if he continues to pitch this well, I mean, it's going to make a huge difference in the outcomes of games for this team. So I go Kyuji Fujikawa, pitcher of the month for July.
Yeah, and I also wanted to give an honorable mention to Aoyagi for the month. He had 3 starts and went 2-1 and only had a 3.57 ERA. So definitely a good, you know, good solid performance from the very bottom of our rotation. So
yeah, and for a rookie, I mean, those are really respectable numbers. This is a guy that we didn't expect to be a starter,
right?
You know, for the year. So an extra bonus, you know, he's kind of come in and replaced who? Iwata? Yokoyama? Mm-hmm. He's replaced anybody that hasn't been able to get the job done. And he's, you know, aside from his control, he's pretty unhittable. I'm finding it hard to believe how little other teams can hit him. But I have an explanation for it, but we'll save that for another show.
Okay.
Let us move forward, Joe. The hot topic of the week.
Hanshin Tigers English. Hot topics. Hanshin Tigers English. Hanshin Tigers English.
So, this coming week, we are heading on the road for what used to be called
the Road of Death.
Shinorodo is what it used to be called. Now, actually, it has not been called that for the better part of this century. It's now called Chokirodo, which means long-term road trip. And before we actually discuss how we think the Tigers are going to do and what we think about all this, I'm going to give a little bit of a background on all of this. First of all, for those of you that are not aware, the National High School Baseball Tournament, affectionately called Koshien, takes place at, yeah, you guessed it, Koshien Stadium.
Koshien.
So for over 2 weeks in August, the stadium belongs to them. And so the Hanshin Tigers cannot play any games there. Even though the teams play during the day, most of the games take place in the day. I mean, the field just can't take that much of a beating and be in any playable condition. So because of preparations and then rain dates and post-tourney repairs, the whole month or most of it is spent on the road. So the Tigers played their last home game at Koshien today. They will not play again at home until August 26th. This term Road of Death came about in the 1970s. And, you know, the team has been doing this trip for longer than that. But, you know, back in the 70s, the Tigers were, they went through a stretch where they were really competitive. They were near the top of the standings. And then they went on this road trip. And it took so much out of them that by the time they got off the road trip, they were out of contention for the pennant. And so they kind of called it the Road of Death. Not because it was grueling, but because it killed their chances at a pennant every year. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know that. I thought it was because it was grueling. Well, Anyways, things have changed, though, a little bit in that from the mid-60s until 1979, the team played a couple of home series at a stadium in Kyoto. Then the Nankai Hawks moved down to Fukuoka, and so the Tigers played some games in their stadium, which was in Nishinomiya. It's been since destroyed, and there's a shopping mall there. Then they played some of their home series at Hotomoto Field in Kobe, but then Oryx took that over. So now, since 1997, when Osaka Dome, now called Kyocera Dome, was completed, they play one or two home series during August there. And that will be the case this year. They play three against the Dragons and two against the Carp at Kyocera Dome in the middle of the month. So all this to say, the Tigers are at a significant disadvantage in August.
Yeah.
Or are they? That's the question.
Well, this year, before this week, I would have said, yeah, we may be at an advantage. Yeah. Our Koshien record wasn't that good before this week.
It sure wasn't, no. But actually, so let me just run down the schedule for everybody in case you don't have it in front of you. This month, or in August, I should say, we are going to play in Yokohama, in Tokyo against the Swallows, in Hiroshima. Then we've got five at Kyocera Dome. And then we go into Tokyo Dome and Yokohama. And then we get to go back to Koshien. And then we play three on the road in Nagoya. And then we're back at Koshien for a whole bunch. Anyways, that's our August. So when you break that down, we take one bullet train into Tokyo for six games. So that's kind of a typical road trip. Mm-hmm. Then we get a day off and we travel out to Hiroshima for three. And then we come back to Kansai for a whole week. Three weekend games, a day off, two against Hiroshima, a day off. And then we take another bullet train to Tokyo for six games. Mm-hmm. So it's not too rigorous of a road schedule in that sense. They kind of compacted it. You know, they play six straight in Tokyo at the start and six straight at the end. And it's just that one other trip into Hiroshima. And, you know, keep in mind, teams back in the early 60s, especially before the bullet train came along, you know, they were taking local trains. They were making lots of stops. They weren't in air-conditioned trains. They weren't staying in high-class hotels. They weren't having their meals prepared for them necessarily, or at least not these, you know, high-quality, you know, gorgeous meals. So I really think that in some ways, traveling is in some ways to their advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the other league, I mean, they have to fly, you know, between most of their games.
Especially Hokkaido, man. Right. Every road trip that they take is like the road of death for them.
Yeah, I mean, look at Hokkaido, you look at even Fukuoka, they have to make, you know, a good jaunt every time they go anywhere. So,
right.
You look at it in that perspective, maybe it's not as bad. You know, I just think it's more of a mental thing at this point, just not having that home field, you know. Luckily with the Tigers, though, when they're on the road, they have quite the big Oendon, you know, compared to most other teams when they're traveling.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, maybe that aspect isn't as much, but you just have a different feeling when you're at home.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, they do play some games at Kyocera, but the atmosphere at Kyocera versus the atmosphere at Koshien, it's like night and day.
Yeah, I've never been
indoors and outdoors, literally. So here's another thing to note, though, about this month of August. Out of our 22 games in August, we're playing 10 of them in domes. Now think about how hot August is in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't playing at Kyocera for those five, they would only have five out of 22 in domes. So in some ways, to play half your schedule inside is advantageous as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at the, you know, the Giants, the, you know, they're always at home, you know, right. So in a dome, I mean, at home, they're in a dome when they're home. Yep. So, you know, I think you get, you know,
the
I don't Giants know if that's an well, advantage, yeah. though.
Well, I mean, what I meant by that is it's advantageous as opposed to playing the games at Koshien in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any month that you want to be playing more dome games, it's August.
It's true.
Yeah. And then the other thing, like you said, the Koshien record is pretty awful. This week kind of, you know, softens that a little bit. But, yeah, it is going to be an interesting month. The degree of difficulty of the travel is not so bad. The degree of difficulty of the schedule, on the other hand, I think we're playing against the Swallows once, like three games. We're playing against the Dragons three games. That's it. Or, pardon me, five in the whole month, but three during the long road trip. So five in the month against the Dragons, three against the Swallows. So 8 out of 22 against the bottom feeding teams. That means 14 out of 22 against teams that are quote-unquote better than us.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I just say, like, I think the, you know, our game against the, our series against the Carp at Matsa Stadium are going to be, you know, I think the key turning point. You know, next week with the Bay Stars and the Swallows, I think, you know, we'll have a decent week there. You know, we'll hopefully continue the trend and have a good week. But, you know, it's really going to hit the, put the nose to the grindstone when we go out to Hiroshima and see what we can do, yep. You know, against a team that, you know, they've been, I think they've fallen a little bit this last week. They didn't have the best week, but.
I think they went 2-4. I could be wrong.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, maybe, you know, depending on how they do next week. But, you know, so I think, you know, if we can take an advantage and at least get the win, you know, two out of three there, I really think it could, you know, bounce the spirits back and see how we do.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's a possibility. Absolutely. Now, let me correct myself. I think we're playing 25 games in August. I said 10 out of 22 in domes. I think it's 10 out of 25. So anyways, in 25 games, instead of going straight into predictions for next week, let's look at our predictions for the whole month, Joe. In 25 games, what do you expect? Like, what kind of record would you like to see, or what do you think we're going to have? Keep in mind, again, that we play 6 against Yokohama, 5 against Chunichi, 3 against the Swallows, 3 against the Giants.
6 against the Swallows.
6 against the Swallows, pardon me. That's right, because we got 3 at Koshien. And then 3 against the Giants and 5 against the Carp.
Yeah. You know, I think we could be happy if we walk away above 500. You know, it's definitely going to be a tougher month like always, I think. But, you know, if we can walk away above 500, I think that's a win for the team.
Yes. Yes. Our August record, by the way, I think last year was quite good. The year before it was 13-12. The year before it was 15-11. So the last time we had a losing record in August, and this counts the tail end where we play at Koshien anyways, but the last time we had that losing record was 2012 when we went 9-15-3. So we actually do have a decent record in August. And some of our players are really strong in the summer. Randy's really good in summer. Iwazaki just told us in his Hero interview that he's stronger in the summer. I know a lot of the guys just really play their best ball in the heat. So I actually, though, am going to predict a 12-13 month, personally.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to predict. I do hope for an over 500. So I'm going to hope. I'll say if we can go 14-11, if we can take 3 more games off of our 10-game debt, that'd be great. That'd be great.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going
to
be?
All right. Let us now actually predict the week to come. As we've already mentioned, we have got 3 games at Yokohama Stadium. That'll be August 2nd, 3rd, 4th. And then we have 3 games at Jingu Stadium. Those will be on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. So they're all in the same, you know, kind of Tokyo general area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bay Stars, especially Tsutsugo, they have been extremely hot lately. They are, I think, playing 500 ball right now. And then the Swallows have been extremely cold lately. So what kind of record do you think we're going to have this week, Joe?
I'm going to go that our, you know, our bats are going to be able to help us out against the Bay Stars. And I'm going to go 2-1 against the Bay Stars.
Mm.
And I am going to say we are going to go, I guess, 2-1 against the Swallows. We'll just have one of those games that just doesn't go our way. But I think the bats can really turn this week around for us. So I'm going for a 4-2 week next week.
You know, until you made your prediction, I was actually going to say 3-3, but you've convinced me. I'm actually going to predict the exact same thing as you. I think we're going to take 2 in Yokohama, and we'll take 2 in Jingu Land against the Swallows. One of the other things to note about the Bay Stars is that I know Alex Ramirez, their manager, has been kind of resting his starting pitching a little bit more. He's sent some guys down to the farm for some extra rest. He's pulling his pitchers a little bit earlier. And their starters have been kind of their strength for a good while. So if he does that in August against us, I think that gives us a bit of an advantage over them. So I think we will take two out of three on them. I think we'll take two out of three against the Swallows because, you know, just the home field advantage is going to give the Swallows just the one game. I don't know how they're going to win it, but, you know, they may take the one. So there you have it. 4-2. Make it happen, Tigers. We'd love to see it.
All right.
So I think that's a wrap, everybody. We are going to see you again in a week's time for episode 42. One more quick note. At the game I went to on Friday, I met the guys from Tigers Cast, the Japanese podcast, as I said. Great bunch of guys. It was a lot of fun to talk to them before the game, and one of them promised that he would be on the show, even though he doesn't speak much English. So, senden-san, matemasyo. Kite kudasai. All right. So, we're looking forward to that. Anyways, it may not be an episode 42, but down the road, we hope to have a Japanese guy maybe doing some Japanese, and I'll do some translating on our show. If you would like to reach us for anything, ask us some questions, throw some trivia our way, give us some suggestions. If you want to give me some input into the book that I plan to write in 2017, send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. You can catch us on Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News. You can hit me up on Twitter @thehanshintiger. All the same old ways, we would love to hear from you. Joe, any big plans for this week?
Not too much, getting back to normal.
All right, well, enjoy normal and enjoy some baseball, Joe. I'll see you in 7 days.
Sounds good. Go Tigers. Right,
enjoy your baseball, everybody. See ya. この時を思う時はその温かささえ感じさせて夕焼けとともに暮れてく私たちの一ページねえありがとう今は言わせて